I love to sit and look through those holy pages and read about the eternal rock of ages. See all that God has done, the battles he has won, the great prophecies unfold. In every book from Genesis to Revelation, I see his loving grace and this great salvation. Brings courage to my soul, for I know he's in control. I believe every word is true. Yes, I believe every word that he said is true. I believe he'll do exactly what he said he would do. How I love his precious.
It's time now for the Teaching Timeless Truths radio broadcast with Pastor Roger Walton. So get your Bible, a pen, and your Bible study notebook as we journey through the truths of God's Word. And now with today's timeless truth, here's Pastor Walton.
Luke's Gospel chapter number 13. Luke's Gospel chapter number 13. Now, when we were here last, we were looking at questions that were asked by our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, unto what is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall I resemble it? So he's saying, okay, what do you compare it to? And he said two things. It's like the grain of a mustard seed, and it's like leaven that's put into the meal. And then he goes and he gives some instructions to, as he's going from city to city, village to village, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And he's asked this question, are there few that be saved? He said, strive to enter at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, shall seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not. Whence you are, depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when you shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first and first which shall be last. The same day, verse 31, there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, get thee out, depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. Now, that's kind of interesting that they would even warn him like that. And I was reading some different readers and some different authors. And one of the authors put it this way, some unusual things about Jesus. Number one, some Pharisees actually cared for Jesus. Nicodemus came to him by night. Herod plotted against Jesus, which we knew. Jesus used sharp language. We're going to see that in just a minute. Jesus knew the duration of his life in verse 33. Jesus knew the place of his death in verse number 33. Jesus deliberately walked into the murderous trap that was set for him, verse 33. And then Jesus lamented over those who rejected him in verse 34. And he foretold a future day of godly supremacy in verse 35. Let's start out and let's look at the Pharisees. Because this is unusual that we would have somebody that would be caring for our Lord Jesus like this. Well, we read about them in the New Testament. It's very, very opening. First of all, they like prominence. They perform their deeds to be seen of men according to various scriptures in the Gospels. They didn't do it because it was something that was fun to do or what they were supposed to do. They did it so that people could see them do it. It was all about the eyesight. It was all about the perception of who they are. We also see they're procrastinating. They could find an excuse to put off to tomorrow what needed to be done today. They would not so much as lift a finger to help the people they put the very burdens on. We see they were pious. They would have different things. They wouldn't look at a woman, even if it was in their own family, would shut their eyes and then run into walls or objects. They did all kinds of things that were kind of unusual. They were haunted by their religion and lived in terror of the wrath of God, because they could see that every time God came around, Jesus came around, it reminded them of these things, and they were always upset over him. They did not like Jesus because they was bringing the God the Father as the preeminent one and not them. By the way, that's exactly what we need to do, is make Christ the preeminent one. our church that we go to, where you go to church, the preeminent one is the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. It's not me. It's not the congregation. It's not even the pastor. The pastor is the under shepherd. You follow him as he's following the shepherd. And we must have that order. And we are supposed to make sure that our hearts and minds and our conscience is all clear before God. But they were haunted because every time they turned around, this Jesus was getting in the way. And like Abraham, they lived in the faith that they believed in, but they kept adding rules and changing rules and adding things they should do so they could go about saying, hey, look at this. They loved the long salutations. They loved the high places. They loved to sit up high in the places where you could see them. And, oh, yeah, they were sitting up there. Oh, they're big. They're big. They wanted to be the big shots of the day. And Jesus made it clear, do you want your reward here or do you want your reward on the other side of heaven? If you want it here, you can have it here, but it fades, it dies, it breaks, it doesn't last. But that which sends to heaven lasts. Pharisees are unique people. Now, there were some that actually came to see him. Now, one came at night, obviously didn't want the other fellows of the Pharisees to know it. His name was Nicodemus. And God made it very clear, Jesus made it very clear to him, you must be born again. Doesn't matter if you're a Pharisee, a Sadducee, a scribe, a publican, a zealot. It didn't matter if you were a common man. Didn't matter if you were of this world or of that world, if you were of this country or that country. Everybody in this world, everyone who has been born a sinner. It takes zero sins to be a sinner. You're conceived in iniquity. Everyone needs a Savior. So we see the Pharisees. Now we also see what they tried to do. They tried to intimidate people to not follow the Lord. Now here they're saying you need to get out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. Now they're either caring for him or they're trying to intimidate him, or maybe even trying to scare him. It could go either way. But Jesus reacts very sternly to that announcement. And he says something here. And by the way, this is a distraction on the road. Have you noticed that this is a distraction on the road? The same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, get thee out. Go away. Because Herod is seeking to kill you. Well, okay, I'll tell you what. You just go tell him. And we're going to see what he calls him here in just a moment. But I want you to notice something very, very powerful here. The Lord is not easily intimidated like we are. A big distraction is people that cross our path, that attempt to threaten us, scare us, or intimidate us. As a Christian, we have to deal with people that try to hinder us from doing what the Lord is leading us to do. I've had strange things said to me. I don't know if you have too, but I've had some very strange things said to me. For instance, in working in ministry where maybe the pay wasn't very much and you kind of struggled to raise a family, but your kids are little and you're struggling to keep all the bills paid because of the little bit that you're making, and yet the cost of living is a little bit higher. And somebody said to me, do you take the money you make and tithe on it? I said, well, absolutely. That is just part of who we are. That's what we do. I don't have to go back and revisit that. Yes. They said, why don't you, now listen to this, why don't you tell God you're already tithing by teaching at that school? I said, you tell God that. I'm going to tell God that he's worthy to get the 10%. And more when I have it, because it's all his anyhow, and he can do with it what he wants, and he can take it anytime he wants. Now, by the way, when they said, get thee out, it was a command. Get out. So it's a distraction along the road. Now, watch this. He says in retaliation, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Now he's going to say some more, but let's just stop right there. Go ye, and it's his imperative back. He was commanded to leave. He said, no, you go. I'm not going, you go. I like that. Christ was not going to be intimidated by that. I'm not leaving. I've got a I'm headed towards Jerusalem. I know where I'm going. I know why I'm going there. I know exactly what's going to happen when I get there. I just told you in my message right here, but you didn't get it. Nevertheless, he said, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. And he's going to make it very clear that he is headed to the cross, but they don't get it. They don't see what he's saying. Now watch this, because he says, you go and you tell that fox, Herod. Ooh, tell that fox. You know what he's saying? I'm not afraid of him. Tell him I cast out devils. Tell him I've been healing today and tomorrow, and I'm going to heal on the third day, and I will complete my work. You tell him that. You go tell him exactly what is going on. You know, there's a word here that is very stern from our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to find out, as we've gone through the Gospel of Luke, I want you to notice some things. And by the way, you'll see this in all the Gospels. Number one, you'll see the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. He does not change in his character. His character is absolutely flawless. You'll see his conduct. And his conduct, as he conducts himself in open public or in private, is absolutely flawless. There's nothing. They've tried everything in their power to twist his words, and he puts it back on them. They've tried everything they can to trap him, and they can't do it. We see that he has demonstrated some incredible areas of concern and compassion. He has opened blind eyes. He has unstopped deaf ears. He has raised up sick people. He's removed fevers. And he's even stopped a person in the middle of taking the bier to the grave and stopped the whole funeral and raised up the dead. He raised up Lazarus. He is one who has been very great in concern and very much great in compassion and caring. But there's also a consternation that he has when it comes to the religious leaders who know the Old Testament and missed him and missed everything that was spoken there that would bring them to their understanding and realization of who God is, and have put a set of rules and regulations on people to make it look like it is a religious thing you do to become something you'll never become without the gift of God. They had that consternation twice in the temple, twice, two different times. He took the whip and drove out the money changers. The first time in John's Gospel, chapter number 2, he actually sat there in front of them and made the whip and then used it. He overturned the tables. And there were many times he said things like, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. He's constantly dealing with the consternation of these people because they're religious and they should know better, but they don't. They have a horrible, horrible, horrible lifestyle in the religious world compared to what Christ wanted them to have. They're all about the outward show and not the inward glow. You cannot change on the outside until you change the inside. You cannot hide the inside. It will come out. And what was coming out in the Pharisees was what was inside. Nothing that would show any kind of biblical, honest-to-goodness, Christian living based on even the Old Testament. Now watch this. Go ye, get going, and tell that fox that I cast out devils. You know, he's saying, I'm just not afraid of him. The whole idea here is that we don't have to be afraid when Christ is the one that we are with. Now, I want you to get this very carefully. I'm going to say this very, very carefully. Don't ask Christ and God to be on your side. Make sure that you are on their side. Make sure that you don't say, here's where I stand, come be with me. You say, Lord, where do you stand? I'll get under you. And under that protection, stand, and having done all to stand with your loins girt about with truth and that whole armor of God, and take that stand, because if you don't, you're going to get hurt because the armor doesn't cover you running away. But you stand and remember that Christ Jesus will be with you and he will help you through every single distraction. Life is full of them. I can tell you this. If I decide that I'm going to have some prayer time, I can almost guarantee you that's when the phone will ring. If I'm going to sit down and read my Bible, then I can almost guarantee you that the phone will ring. Someone will knock on the door. That's why I believe Jesus got up a great while before day. And that's why I get up a great while before day. Before anything starts stirring in the house. Before kids, when I was raising my kids, grandkids, and all that, I make sure that I have had my time with the Lord. Because that's an important time. And it's much more. Now, you just go tell him what I'm doing. You tell him that I am doing these things. Now, I want you to remind yourself that this has all come about because of John 1:11, where he said he came to his own received him not. That is the saddest verse in the beginning of John. John chapter 1 is all these great verses. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were created without him, without anything made that was made. Boom, that's just awesome. We go on down, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us in verse 14. We beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But before that, in verse 11, it says, and he came to his own. He came to the Jews, and they received him not. But I love that next verse. But as many as did receive him, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even, here you and I are, even to them that believe on his name. That's why he came. So you just tell him, not interested in running away. You tell him what's going on. You tell him I cast out devils and I do cures today and tomorrow and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. Meaning simply this, Christ is on a divine schedule. He's telling the Pharisees, I can't do what you're wanting me to do because I'm on a journey. Destination is the cross. Thank God because of that and what happened in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, I'm on a journey, destination, heaven, because of Christ's salvation and my faith in him. He is on his way. Now listen to this. Christ was not taken to the cross. They may have come into the garden to get him, but he was not grabbed and seized and forced. He went willingly. He would, listen, till it was time, he would say, my hour's not yet come. He would walk right through the people. My hour's not yet come. My hour's not yet come. But when his hour was come, a little child could have led him to the cross because he was willingly going. There was nothing there that was going to get him to resist and rebuild. He'd already prayed in the garden, if there's any other way, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He came to do his Father's will. And that's what you and I need to be here doing. Our Father's will in the name of Christ with the power of the Holy Ghost and moving forward with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we then will not have to be afraid of distractions. And those people that get in our way and those that say, hey, you shouldn't do that. They don't have to do this. I've heard people say, you don't have to do all that to be a member of our church. You're making the rest of us look bad. Wait a minute. Don't you want to just love him and serve him and do things for him because of what he's done for you? Doesn't it make you want to just say, Lord, what would thou have me to do? I think I've heard other people say that in the Word of God. What will you have me to do, Lord? Isaiah took a look at what was going on, and he said, here am I, send me, when he heard, who will go for us? Who shall we send? Here am I volunteer, send me. Wow. Now you watch this. This brought him to a place where we went from Pharisees to foxes to talking about chickens. Watch this. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Oh, goodness. Do you see the compassion? Do you see the churning? This is called having the bowels move. In fact, in some of the other gospels, it says, and Jesus moved with compassion. Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem. Goodness. Oh, if you just understood the compassion I have for you. If you just understood the love that I have for you. If you just understood the reason why I'm coming to you. But you have stoned those that were sent unto thee to tell you about it. You've killed the very prophets of God who came and told you about me, that told you and gave you all the things about me that you should have picked up on, and you didn't, because you didn't like what they had to say, and you killed them. They didn't believe. And the weeping prophet Jeremiah, he kept telling them, you just go into captivity and you just set up shop there. You're going to be there for 70 years. No, we're not. No, we're not. No, we're not. They wouldn't believe him. And they wanted to put him in prison several times and dump him in that mire. They were just always after Jeremiah. But it came to pass, just like he said. And they would kill prophets and say, no, we don't want your word. We don't need you to tell us about that. And they kill those even throughout the history of the blood-bought church. Has been paid for with blood of martyrs who have died at the cross, at the stake. They say Peter was, history says he was crucified upside down because he didn't want to be crucified like his Lord. Fox's Book of Martyrs has so many of those horrible martyrs. And I think of the one that comes in the first century church there, a Polycarp. And he just was so in love with Jesus. And he was an older man, and they were taking him back, and as he was praying, if you read the account, as he was praying, as they were leading him to the stake, he started praying to his God with such fervor and such power that the people who were bringing him back started falling down on the ground. If you remember, and when they came to get Jesus, Jesus said, whom seek you? They said, Jesus. He said, I am he. And the Gospel of John says they fell backwards. Why? Because he's powerful. And man, they were taking him to the stake, and Polycarp was able to pray, and people were passing down, falling out of the ground. They got him to the stake. They tied him up. He began to sing. They lit the thing on fire, and he wouldn't burn. They were just having trouble, so they were trying to stoke the fire, and he still was singing. They couldn't get him to shut up. They were trying to get more fire. And finally, someone reached up, and they poked him to have him bleed openly, and the blood, as they say in their put out part of the fire, and they had to stoke it again while he sang. Oh, they told him before they put him on the stake, you got one shot, recant. Recant, you're not who you say you are. He said, 86 years have I been with him. I will not leave him. Now, he's never forsaken me. I am not going to forsake him. That's not a direct quote, but that's just what I remember. Now, my friend, that's just one of many. Stephen was a martyr. And they got mad at him and gnashed on him with their teeth when he made a statement, said, I see Jesus. And he wasn't sitting at this point. He was standing at the Father's right hand. I'm here to tell you, you tell him, listen, I've got this going for me. I'm headed to Jerusalem. And oh, Jerusalem, if you just knew. If you go back and look at Abraham and Isaac and saw me at that mount and saw what was going on, the Father and the Son. Oh, you've killed the prophets. Oh, how often. I just wanted to gather you under my wing and just hold you like a hen does. But you wouldn't let me do it. You would not. You didn't have anything about you that would allow me to do that. Oh, how often. This shows how much his desire was great. This shows how much his desire was powerful. This shows how much his desire stayed the whole time he was there. All he wanted was for them to turn to him, because he knows the end is going to be great things. And if they don't, the end therefore is going to be horrible, horrible things. He just told them there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth just before this comes in. And they are still in that mode. Oh, they would not. They didn't take the compassion that he was given. They just disregarded it. And they continued to mock him. Behold your house. This is what Jesus said. Behold your house is left unto you desolate. Wow. Behold your house. It is left unto you desolate. Destitute of God's help. Destitute, abandoned, emptied, forsaken. Goodness. Your house is now desolate because you have rejected me. I tried to get you there. You didn't want me. Now you have a house that is destitute of what you need. My friend, if you're going through all this horror, you're just destitute of what you need. What you need is Jesus. You need to be saved. That will transform and change everything. But as many as received him by faith, in belief of what he did for you at Calvary, because you cannot fix or save yourself, those lambs that pushed sin forward, those perfect spotless lambs that pushed sin forward that were slain, could not take away sin. But one day John said, behold, the Lamb. This is the one. This is the only one. We don't need any more lambs. We have the Lamb that taketh away. What a powerful statement. The sin of the world. Your house is left desolate. Judgment is coming because you have rejected the very compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is on his way to Calvary to die for you. And at Calvary, when we get to those chapters, you know the story. If you've been around a while, you know what it is. They mock him and they make fun of him and they call him names. They pull his beard. They blindfold him. They smack him and say, prophesy, who hit you? And he said, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Well, that is Christ coming back again. And boy, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. But there was a time here, behold, your house is left desolate. You'll not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. They're going to say that, believe it or not, just a few chapters, and then turn around and crucify him. Isn't that sad? What a horrible thing there is. The mouth reveals a lot of things sometimes, and what comes out of the mouth can be very, very hurtful, can be very, very, very condemning. Sometimes what comes out of the mouth can be very, very doubting, and we got to watch what's coming out of our mouth. Listen to me carefully. What's coming out of your mouth is indicative of what is in your heart. What's coming out of your mouth is indicative of what's in your heart. Jesus reproves Herod, and he reproves those who understand nothing about why he came and have rejected the very compassion of Christ. My friend, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is reaching out in compassion. He's proved it at Calvary, and he wants to save you today. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, save that one that's closest to hell. Encourage their hearts in the things of God. May, Lord, you see a transformation in lives of Christians who are struggling with distractions. May they give up those distractions for the power of God. And may we never, never back away from the very compassion of God, but love on you as you have taught us, because you love on us. In Jesus' name, amen. This is Pastor Walton. Have
yes,
a great
I
week.
I believe every word that he said is true. I believe he'll do exactly what he said he would do. How I love his precious word. It thrills me through and through. I believe every word is true. Oh, I believe every word that he said is true. I believe he'll do exactly what he said he would do. Precious word, it thrills me through and through. I believe every word.
You have been listening to the Teaching Timeless Truths, the radio broadcast with Pastor Roger Walton. You can send all correspondence to TTTBroadcasts@gmail.com. Tune in again next week for another Timeless Truth.